Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What's happened, everybody? I enjoyed last night. I don't know about you. I think I was so curious as to how they were going to act after they won the game. First of all, I wasn't sure if they were going to win the game. Down by 10, and they were a little bit out of whack. That was fun. And, you know, to me, this is a perfect example. Really, this is a perfect example of how miserable society's become. And what I mean by that is, like, when this was first introduced, the concept. Now, if you've heard me, even going back to the national stuff, I've been very critical of the commissioner. I think he's soft, and I think that he's allowed the players to take over and run the league. And, you know, with all due respect, I just think that Adam Silver is more of a number two than a number one. Maybe a better way to say it, I never thought he could shine Stearns' shoes. I mean, it's not even close, right? But you got to give credit where it's due a little bit. And what I thought was initially a corny and a very contrived, you know, force-fed whatever, I've actually come to enjoy it. You know, I was going through the range of emotions here of how I felt about the cup. And again, the first one was, I'm not interested. This is ridiculous. This is corny. And then once I stopped being a little bit angry, I don't even know why I was angry over it. But once I stopped being a little bit angry and stopped resisting it, I then quickly pivoted to being apathetic. Oh, the NBA Cup, whatever. Who's playing? Are we in it? I mean, is this a regular season game? Is the court regular? Is the court purple? Is the court red? Is the court blue? What uniforms are we wearing? What the hell's, like, what? Where are we at? Is this a regular game against the Raptors, or does this actually mean something? So, but then in the semifinal, I got to admit, I started getting a little bit hooked. A little bit. And last night, I actually really enjoyed it to the point where I was obviously doing the St. John's game. Johnny's beat DePaul. I mean, you better beat DePaul. And they did. So first conference win for St. John's. And as the tip was at 7, so I think the Knicks started at 8:30. And as soon as I got in the car, and I checked on my phone at some point from Queens, and I'm like, you know what? I'm looking forward, probably about an hour or so drive back to New Jersey. And I put on the Knicks game, and as I always do when I'm in the car, because I'm a Knicks fan, and I'm into it. Like, there was definitely a ratcheting up of intensity. There was definitely a buy-in by the players. You could tell by their reaction. So it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. And why I say that this is a pretty good reminder of how miserable we've become as a society. Like, are we really going to rant and rave on this station all day about the merits of hanging a banner or not? I mean, is this how infantile and how dumb, really, we've become? I have no interest in debating that. Now, I will say this. I was a little misled. I think many of us were. I saw Evan's tweet at some point. I think I saw it last night. We were mostly in Dove. I think it was last night, right? You saw that tweet from Evan about the banner. We were mostly under the, I guess, illusion that if you won the cup, you had to put the banner up. It was an NBA mandate. And that's where I was like, all right, a little resistance here. We're going to put that up there with the big fella and Red Holtzman. You know, come on. And Willis Reed and Frazier and all these other stars. No, I am Monroe, DeBuscher, Bradley. We can't do this. Cardaseca, Fish, Billy Joel, the great Ranger names and banners. No. But is that really worth being angry over? I think I'm at a point now where if I like something, I'm in. If I don't like something, I'm not. Now, if something is truly offensive to me, I'm going to push back, and I'm going to push back strong, and I'm going to let you know how I feel. But my advice to you is to understand that it's not a championship. It's more of a moment. It's more of a symbolism of a team that took it seriously and a team that's coming together a little bit, and I enjoyed it. It's fun watching Wemby. It's fun watching these games with a different sound from the... I mean, Ian's always great on the call, but that extra juice, that extra buzz, and the extra celebration. So, you know, is it a little overboard at midcourt with the confetti and the hats and the hoodies, champions, whatever? But I enjoyed it. Congrats to the Knicks. And hopefully, it is a foreshadow of things to come. 888-808-1019. BTR on the Fan. I got a little Bellinger thing for you later, which we will get into, and that is exclusively a Yankee and a Met thing. But let's get to the Knicks. Adam's down in South Jersey on the Fan. Adam, what's happening?
Brandon, good morning, my brother. It is fitting that, you know, all those many, many years ago, the last call I made for years was to Mike and Dog before you came on the scene. And now here I am, what's going to be my last call to the Fan until I hear you again is to you. So I'm happy to talk to you today, my brother, and I'm happy to talk New York Knicks.
I appreciate that, buddy. Yeah, let's go. Let's chop it up, Knicks. Champs.
Listen, man. To me, what this is about is a couple of good things here for the Knicks, right? Number one, like you said, they're coming together as a team. They took it seriously, which meant to them it was a pressure situation. Tyler Kolek was dynamite last night. I just want to see more of this kid, Brandon, because this kid brings an energy. He runs the team well when Brunson's not on the floor, and even together at the end of the game with them playing with two ball handlers was dynamite. And I think that what this does for the Knicks is it shows them if you put it together, you can do this. San Antonio beat Oklahoma City. That's nobody's fault but Oklahoma City's, right?
Yeah.
So there's a chance, because San Antonio's good. San Antonio could be the other team at the end if you get through the Eastern Conference. You know, while we all think, and it's all written in the book, that we think it's going to be Oklahoma City, that's not written in stone. It's hard to repeat. So the Knicks take this moment, and they celebrate a little bit, and I'm happy for them. And as a Knicks fan, I'm happy that they had a goal and they accomplished it.
Yeah.
That's important. You know what I mean?
I do.
That's important, man.
I've got a little feedback there, Adam. That's why I'm going to let you go. Thank you for making the call, and thank you for supporting us, being a fan of the show. Thank you very much. By the way, I am off tomorrow, but I am back on Friday. And that'll be the last full-time spot in the 10-2 spot before all the changes come. So, you know, hey, listen, it's funny. One of the things that I've enjoyed most with you is talking Knicks. It was really good to get that spark back. You know, they started to get better when I was with Tiki. They really started to get better when me and Sal were together. So, and this goes back to, you know, the mid-2000s when I first got on New York radio. And they were atrocious. That was Isaiah, and that was Marbury, and Eddie Curry, and Jerome James, and Q Rich, and Jamal, and Nate Dogg, and Balkman. My God. Some of those players that I mentioned were good, but it was an absolute circus disaster. And really what happened, in a lot of ways, is, you know, it's the Nick talk obviously just goes away. Kind of like the Jets and the Giants right now. Really, if you think about that, now, football is obviously much more popular than basketball, but... I mean, outside of playing the unkillable rant, which I'll play on Friday, I'll bust that out. I'm going to play it in its entirety so you guys can hear that coming through the speakers. I've actually never heard the whole thing. I've never heard that speech. I've seen clips, obviously. People have sent me stuff. I have never heard the whole thing, so I'll play it on Friday before I bounce. But, you know, you think about the popularity of the NFL. I got nothing to say about the Jets and the Giants. What am I going to say? And really, all those years... The Knicks were as down as the Jets and the Giants currently are. So if there's really nothing, and trust me, we've had the conversations. Dable, Shane, fire this guy. What do you do? Sit, Dart, protect him, play him, don't, Jets, whatever. Fire the DC. Do you move up to get Mendoza? Like, we've had the conversations, obviously. But there's an expiration on just getting on the air and saying, God, these guys suck. And that happened to the Knicks. And for a long time. And it was sad. Yeah, it's funny, like, when I was first introduced to the Knicks by my dad, I remember watching the Knicks on Channel 9. And that was when, I would say this was about 80, definitely early 80s, because Bernard King was my first favorite Knick. And back then, the Knicks and the Rangers, the road games were on WOR Channel 9 TV. Same with wrestling, you know. And unless you had MSG, which I didn't get until probably 4 or 5 years later in the mid-80s, you didn't really get to watch any Knick or Ranger home games. And the point is, is that when I first fell in love with the Knicks were, I mean, they were wretched. There's a reason why they got the first overall pick in Patrick back in 85. I mean, outside of Bernard King, I had a lot of Rory Sparrows and Darryl Walkers and Ken the Animal Bannisters and Trent Tuckers and Louis Orr's and Louis, rest in peace. That was a rough team, man. That was a bad team to get behind. And then they popped, and then it was awesome, and then it was invisible basically for 15 years. So here we are. To me, I'm not going over the top, obviously. I'm not putting the banner next to the other ones, but I'm going to hang it somewhere. I mean, I think that they've earned that. And really, I got to tell you, just from a Nick evaluation point of view, I think anytime you can get more information on something, you have a better chance to make a smart, intelligent decision. And, you know, let's just say it was just a regular 82-game schedule, right? And last night was just, you know, a game against the Spurs or whomever else it might be. You know, there's not the intensity or the scrutiny or the focus or the pride that was demonstrated last night and in the Cup semifinals. And I say that, not to overstate it, but when you have heightened expectations and heightened visibility, to me, that's a better chance to get a read on your team. How do they respond to pressure? How do they look when there's, you know, some more eyeballs on you? And if I didn't like what I saw, and really I should say Leon Rose, if Leon Rose didn't or doesn't, and how could he not now, but if he didn't like what he saw, well, maybe that's impetus to change, maybe accelerate pursuing a big trade, Giannis, something else. Maybe. I'm not even sure if this is the right move because I still think the Knicks need to do one more thing to win the championship, the real one. But at least now you got to see the Knicks in a competitive environment, as competitive as it gets in the regular season. And they did awesome. Honestly, it was a lot of fun. All right, 888-808-1019, BT on the Fan. Ryan's in Comac. What's happening, Ryan? How you doing today?
Hey, BT, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
I just wanted to talk about the banner. Listen, does the NBA Cup matter in the grand scheme of things? It matters to the players. I think it's great for the fans. The intensity in the games were really high. The whole banner thing, I mean, we have Atlantic Division banner. What does it mean in the Atlantic Division?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, we have President's Trophy for the Rangers. What does that mean? Oh, we came in first in the regular season. Wow, we got wiped out in the first round. Big deal. So for the banner thing, you know, I'm going to ship a replica banner to Joe Beningo's house so we can hang it on his front lawn.
Right. Put it right next to the 17 gnomes who are probably on Joe's lawn, right? I know he collects those gnomes.
Exactly. So it's something, right? It was a great game. The players weren't sitting down the whole game, each bench, standing up, cheering. I love to see that for the players. It brings a little playoff intensity, gives the players a little experience, like, hey, this game means something. I mean, $500,000 to Tyler Kolek is a lot of money, man.
Oh, yeah.
He played a great game. He played his butt off, and he earned that check. So good for the kid. He got a little money. Again, is it an NBA title? No. But is it cool? Yeah, it's cool. It's adapted from the soccer model, you know, the FA Cup for the English Premier League. You know, it's not winning the league, but it's something, right? It's another title. It wins your money. And it's good for the sport. So I think Sal kind of swayed your opinion on the NBA Cup when he kept saying that it's stupid.
No, Ryan. Nobody swayed my. I just didn't like it. I mean, I thought it was just too forced, honestly. But I'm allowed to evolve. Sal had nothing to do with it. I mean, Sal didn't think Mike Brown was the right guy. I liked Mike Brown. So I mean, opinions are what they are. Listen, I think that anything that becomes more ingrained in the younger generation eventually is going to carry more merit and more weight. And just it's going to be processed differently than us, maybe, who initially were like, and again, I'm not going over the top here, but I'm happy that they won. And it's cool that they won. And it's fun to go out a champion. Dove, I'm going out a champion, man. Going out a champion. The Johnnies will win the NCAA championship this year. The Knicks are already champions. Yanks and Mets better get going if they want to be champions. Jets and Giants have no hope at this point, but I am a champion. Nobody can take that. That is on my resume as he leaves FAN. Champion. No, but like, think about this. When the designated hitter was first introduced, 1973, Ron Blumberg, right? I can imagine the resistance there. People screaming from the top of the mountain. You know, from the lawns, this is a disservice to the game. This is a disgrace. This is against history. What are we doing? And then look at us now. I mean, if you don't have a DH, pretty much like the Mets haven't had one for a long time, your offense is not where it needs to be. Same with, like, when the wild cards were first introduced. Wild cards, what is this? You really don't have to accomplish much and you're a playoff team? Yeah. But now it's ingrained in our sporting minds. Much like, you know, now my son fell asleep, but I recorded it for him. I want him to see, you know, Brunson and Towns at the Knicks with the confetti holding a trophy. And I don't think he's going to expect a parade, but I would imagine as he gets older and, you know, these other 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, 18, 22, 25-year-old NBA fans, et cetera, as it becomes more ingrained and more part of the DNA of the league, it's going to carry a little bit more juice and they're going to add to it, and it's a good thing. Hey, we're talking about the NBA. I mean, think about that. I could have easily, if there's no NBA Cup, and the Knicks play the Raptors, the Heat, the Pacers, the Nets, anybody, and it's just a regular 1 out of 82 last night, I'm not starting the show with the Knicks unless, God forbid, somebody got hurt. You know, it's back to, you know, Bellinger, Yankees, Mets, hot stove. You know, coming up with something interesting in the NFL because, Lord knows, you got to be creative with these doormat teams that we got. But because the Knicks played, and even if they lost, I would have started the show with it. So that's about visibility, and that's a good thing. It empowers the younger fans, and it really empowers the league, I think. So I'm good with it now, after initially hating it. Bruce is in Wyckoff. Bruce on the Fan with BT. What's up, Bruce?
Go, New York. Go, New York.
Go.
Go, New York. Go, New York.
Go.
Success breeds success. That was the value of that game to me. But my question to you and the audience is, what's the rotation going to look like once Shamit, once McBride comes back? And the real question is, I don't think we win that game if Kids is coach. Spread it out. Hopefully, you know, Brunson win the game for us. That was a full team win.
Yeah.
You could see the difference. We do need some help on defense and blocking those threes.
Yeah.
We got to improve there. But offensively, we're not relying on Brunson to win the game. I want your opinion on
that. Bruce, it's a great point. Thank you very much, buddy. It talks about the evolution of this Knicks team. Now, Tom Thibodeau's a damn good coach, and we all have a tremendous amount of respect for Tom Thibodeau. But and I was on this early, the reason why I wanted the Knicks to move on from Tom Thibodeau last year was because, this to me, the growth, it was over. I didn't see any more growth as a coach. I saw somebody who was married to his ways, which, again, many of us are in many things, but you've got to evolve when the league evolves. And I could promise you last night that, you know, if Tom Thibodeau's coaching this game, if they're to this point, and they might be because they have talent, I can promise you Clarkson's not hitting those big threes. I can promise you Kolek's not playing big minutes. It's not happening. They're not on the court. And it's going to be a lot of, you're right, 37. 30. Now, they did minutes-wise, Brown upped it during the cup here, which I like. A little more emphasis on winning. Good. If we're playing for something, win it. Do your best to win. Compete. And you saw that competitive gene click in for the coach and for the team, obviously. But I just don't think that the roster would have been utilized the way it's been utilized thus far. And, oh, yeah, by the way, who's top scoring team of the Eastern Conference? That would be the Knicks at over 121 points a game. Not bad. Now, that's not to coronate Mike Brown. That's not to say that he's a home run hire. He's a good coach, and I always knew he was good. I do think he seems to fit this roster. Early on, it was a little, you know, feeling out, maybe even a little resistance. Brunson said this the other day. He's like, you know, we had to buy in, and it starts with me. And I get it. You know, we've all been through this. You know, the radio that I was used to doing was very different than, like, you know, what Spike, who brought me here, what he basically demanded we do. Like, he had a very different template. And at first, I was like, this doesn't feel right. I don't know. Kind of feel my way around it. And so was he, and I think so was Sal. I think so was some of the other people at the station. It was a different approach. And then, you know, you're like, all right, I either do this or I'm out. I mean, I'm out anyway, so I guess it doesn't really matter. I did it. I mean, hey, I should have done it my way. Screw you, you know? What's the difference? You're out. Go down swinging. I did. The point is, when something different is introduced, it doesn't happen overnight. And say this about this Knicks team. They are bought in. They are professional. They are obviously deep. They are obviously talented. They are obviously limited in a few spots. You know, a little defense. We know about those two spots with the point guard and the center. But the Knicks have a professionalism that you got to respect because you watch them and you feel it, and it's obvious. So, good job. We're talking Knicks. We'll do a little Yanks and Mets later. BT on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And the other thing, too, and this is part of the, I guess, the residue of winning together. I mean, first of all, the way Jalen Brunson, this guy's the best, man. He is just, he's everything you want in a superstar. He's humble, but he's a killer. You know, he is all in, and he is just such a good teammate. When they're trying to talk about him as the MVP. Now, I don't get wrapped up in the MVP of the Cup. Let's not go nuts here. But it's like the NBA Finals MVP. But when you get the microphone and they want to talk about you, and the first thing you do is deflect from you to four or five other guys on the team, you know how far that goes in the locker room and what that could mean on the court in terms of togetherness? It's a great thing. I mean, Towns is making 51 mil. OG's making 45. OG was good. OG's making 45. Brunson's making 40. Bridges making 38. You know, you got the Hot Porties and the Colicks and guys like that. I mean, they're making good money, you know, relative to the rest of the world, but they're making absolute peanuts compared to the rest of their peers in the NBA, at least the highly paid ones. So the fact that that was such a central theme and Brunson was able to articulate that, that's going to go a long way in fostering togetherness, which, you know, could obviously pay dividends down to June. And that's the hope, you know. Now, is this team really a championship team? I'm not going to let the cup dissuade me from thinking what I've kind of always thought. I don't think so. I think they're a tick short there, but could be wrong. I could be wrong. 888-808-1019 is the number. Let's go to Connecticut. What's going on, John? You're on the Fan. How are you?
Good, BT. Thanks for taking the call, man. You know, there's only positives that you can take out of this. You know, this is great for the team. It's great for the organization. Yeah, it's nothing special, but you're only going to be able to build on top of this. And when you look at how they celebrated, it was great. It was fun. It's only going to build on the camaraderie. And when you're talking about the games that are in front of you, win the games that are in front of you. That's the most important thing. I mean, think of the narrative of coming in today if the script was flipped where, you know, the Knicks were leading for three quarters and then gave it up in the fourth and, you know, what we'd be talking about and, oh, we got to make these moves and that move. And it's like, yeah, that's still a little bit there, but it's like, you know, I like this team. I like where they're going. I like how they're molding together. I'll be honest, I wasn't crazy about Brown coming in coaching this team, but, mm-hmm. and he's done a great job so far.
Yeah.
Like, he's building on a lot, and I like what I see. And the only other thing, a little off topic with basketball, you know, they're going more towards like that soccer approach. Do you ever see the NBA and possibly the MLB going into like the loan system because of how deep a lot of these teams are with the G League and the minor league system?
I don't know. I really I hope not. And I'll tell you what, John, if that happens, by the time it does, I'll probably be checked out. At that point, I just won't care. I mean, we'll start loaning players. What I wouldn't mind seeing, if you're going to take something from soccer, how about a little relegation? You know, I think, you know, and I'm saying that kind of flippantly, but not really. You know, relegation, though, if you know how that works in soccer, you probably don't. I'll explain it to you. I mean, I don't even know that much about it because I don't watch soccer that much, except when my kids are, when my daughter's playing. But relegation is if you don't, you know, on the table in terms of the standings, achieve whatever you have to achieve, you are basically sent packing. You are kicked out of that league and you are relegated to a lesser one. Less visible, less money, and then you got to work your way back. So the emphasis and the, you know, the spotlight that you really can't avoid, you would think that it would serve as a great motivator to get your act together. So if you try to cut corners as an owner and you're cheap and you got a, you know, a weak facility and you just can't attract good players, whatever it might be, then you are going to adversely feel the consequences downstream. because you are going to be relegated. And when you are relegated, you lose a lot of money. And that's when owners generally start to respond when you lose money. So relegation would be great. I mean, I'll tell you what. Let's relegate the Jets and the Giants and let them play Bosco and some of the other powerhouses here, right? Why not? Let's go for it. I think that DePaul Catholic, let's go. Let's relegate them to that league. Bergen, all the heavyweights, get a few more. I think Curtis is still good in the PSAL. Lincoln's pretty good. Put them with them and let them earn their way back to the NFL. But I don't mind that concept. Oh, okay. So we need a dissenting voice. I want to see what Glenn has to say here. Glenn is in Montague. It says the NBA Cup sucks on my screen. Glenn, what's cooking, buddy? How you doing today?
Hey, guys. Big fan of you guys. I love you guys. And listen, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, okay? But just hear me out here.
Okay.
You're getting rewarded. You're getting rewarded for a winning streak. That's what it comes down to. I don't like the cup. I'm not a fan of the cup. If you want to give a cup out, why don't you give a cup out to the Detroit Pistons? What'd they do? How many wins did they rip off in a row?
I think it was 14.
Before this cup.
Yeah.
14. Did they get anything out of the deal? They're learning how to play as a team, and that's a great thing.
Yep.
The NBA is getting desperate here. They're getting desperate. They needed a makeover and a facelift, and this is what they came up with. I just don't like it. You're a world champion for a reason. That's what it comes down to. The very last game when you win the championship, then you could put that banner up in the Raptors. Thank you, guys.
No, hold on. Don't hang up. Glenn.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
So are you a big Knick guy, or are you just kind of and either way, it's fine, just parachuting in with an opinion?
I'm a big Boston Celtics fan guy. I'm 61 years old, going all the way back to the great John Havlicek and Dave Cowan.
Okay.
That's my voice.
You are stamped a champion and a real fan. Got it. But let's say the Celtics were playing the Nets last night. You know, would you flip it on for a sec just to, you know, keep an eye on your team? You would, right?
Sure, I would.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. So why wouldn't you rather watch a game that is more played with more passion and more aggression than any other regular season game? Is that a better watch? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's just meaningless, sir. It's meaningless because you're rewarding a team for a winning streak.
Yeah, all right. I mean, that's your opinion. I got you. I mean, I'm not going to try to change your mind. I mean, it's not that good where I'm going to change opinions. Let's not get nuts here. But Glenn said something. He said, you know, that the NBA is getting desperate. Well, and I have been so critical of the NBA, starting with the commissioner. And I love basketball, but it's been a train wreck for a while. I don't think it's a desperation as much as it is a move to globalize the sport. Honestly, how is it really? Baseball's got the WBC, right? They do that. Obviously, you know, hockey has their tournament. Soccer, we just discussed soccer, as global as it gets. So why wouldn't the team and the sport that really, actually, aside from soccer, started the global pursuit with the Dream Team back in 92, why can't they get a piece of the pie and join the fun? Again, you know, you don't need to love it. I get that. And for most of it, I'm like, this is cornball stuff. I'm not with it. But to, you know, denounce it, denigrate it, I don't feel compelled to do that. I'm okay with it. Robbie's in Lennox. What's up, Robbie? How you doing?
Hey, Brandon. First of all, I just want to say that I'm going to miss you guys. You know, I listen to you guys every day. You have a great show. I wanted to say hi to Dove, and happy holidays to you and your family. But I'm going to miss you guys. Seriously, I know you'll be back in different forms, but I've been calling the station for 38 years. Been a radio announcer up here in New England, had an award-winning show, and I just want to tell you guys are awesome, and I appreciate it. And the other thing I want to talk about is our teams. I saw the last team in 1973 win the championship. Look, the Rangers had the French Maids Trophy in 1994 before they won the Stanley Cup. Maybe this is a good omen. I don't like it personally, but I changed my mind a little bit about it because you know why? It brings the team together.
Yes.
And you know what? That's the whole point, and that's the point you were making. I like that. And I want to say something about my favorite New York team, the New York Rangers. They are an absolute disgrace.
Yikes.
Chris Drury needs to go. Okay, they're a disgrace. And you know why? It's not all Drury's fault. This team is the over-the-hill gang. You have a core of players that are in their 30s now, okay? They're slow. They're old. Sell, sell, sell like you can't sell anymore. I've had enough to lose to the worst team in hockey last night.
And to get smoked and not even score.
I mean, they don't even score. You know why? I'm so sick and tired of watching these guys go east and west. I mean, here we go east and west. I mean, I say it every time. Here we go. It's like watching east-west comedy. Here we go east and west. Too many guys that are soft. Why can't they go out and get a guy like a Sam Bennett in Florida? Why is it every time I watch the Panthers, and right now the Panthers have the two best players are sitting and they're out, and yet they've won four in a row, and yet they're winning. Why? Because they play simplified hockey. And I feel so sorry for Eagle and for Quickie. You know, Quickie hasn't won a game since November 7th.
Yikes.
And the guy's playing his ass off at 40 years old. Yeah. And Eagle breaks his stick the other night in the Ducks game. Oh, I'm so glad they're motivated to play the Ducks the other night in the third period, in which they acquired five shots. I mean, I feel sorry for Mike Sullivan. Mike Sullivan's a good coach, but you know what? Mike Sullivan doesn't have Sidney Crosby and Malkin, and he doesn't have Chris Letang, and he doesn't have Flower and Goal, okay? So Sullivan looks like a complete flip here, all right? It's Chris Drury, but it's also the past. Let me ask you something. Last time, when's the last time the Rangers drafted a great player?
I don't know, but this is already more hockey talk than I was planning for. But you sound good. Keep going. They stink.
Thanks, pal.
They stink. They deserve this. I was going to make a little Rangers note. I'm watching Sports Night last night, and as I always do, and a lot of baseball, a little mix as well. And they were talking about the Rangers, and they just came up on the screen. I'm like, is that possible? So I'm like, I'll do this. I'll take a screenshot on my phone, and then I'll obviously find a way to incorporate it into the show. Now, I don't know who the hell the Rangers should trade for. I'm not going to throw names at you. I don't know them. I'm not going to turn. Listen, if I didn't talk hockey, but you know, we did during the playoffs here and there a little bit, but if I didn't talk hockey regularly on the 3 years that I was or am on the Fan, you think I'm starting now with less than two shows to go full time? No, we're talking baseball. We're talking Knicks. But I will say the Rangers at home, though, they are 4-10-3. All right. Anybody know? You just have to pick up a website or pay, you know that they've struggled there. But the goals scored, I mean, they are getting their asses kicked. They have scored 30 times in those 17 games. 30! And they have given up 53. They are minus 23 goals scored at the Garden. What a joke! What a disaster! I mean, really, what a clown show the Rangers are. My God. Now, I don't even pretend to know enough about hockey to tell, like, how to fix this. I don't know. But I know enough to know that I don't see very many dynamic players. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, you say east-west. They just don't have any horses that can dominate. Oh, my God. I know the last goal was an empty netter when they pulled it. I know the last goal was the empty netter. I believe the Rangers were on a power play. And they gave up the empty netter when they pulled the goalie. When they pulled Quick, pretty sure that was a power play. They are awful. I mean, really, they're certainly at home. They're in Jets and Giants territory. Now, it's the exact opposite on the road. So, yeah, who knows? But, wow. Power play opportunities, 40? Ugh. Five goals out of 40 opportunities? I mean, that is disgraceful. Don't start calling about hockey. I'm not taking hockey calls. I'm telling you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply, in app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm not. Here, 888-808-1019 is the number. Hey, by the way, phenomenal response to the live BT and Sal show coming up on January 22nd. So it has been very well received. Aaron Boone is going to be out there with us. And, I mean, there's not that many more tickets. So if you want to come, you better jump in. It's going to be an awesome night. We can't wait. A lot of surprises planned. Obviously, Boone's coming out. a lot of fun. And we're just going to kind of celebrate with you, give us with you guys a chance to just do it in a different light. So if you guys want to check it out, my social media stuff, go right to the link, Ticketmaster, have a little fun with that. Can I read you a little something here? Yes, I can. 30 and 52, 37 and 45, 39 and 43, 33 and 49, 23 and 59, 33 and 49, 23 and 59, 32 and 50, 29 and 53. Well, you ready? Get the champagne. 42 and 40. Ooh. 36 and 30. Of course, the 54 win season was fun with Carmelo and those guys, but then it was right back to being a doormat. 37 and 45. 17 and 65. Fizdale. 32 and 50. 31 and 51. 29 and 53. 17 and 65. And 21 and 45. So I read all those Knicks seasons this century to give you the license to tell somebody to go take a hike and get lost if they are making fun of you today for enjoying the cup. Get lost, man. Don't want to hear it. You know, now some of you did not sit through all of those seasons. Many of us did. And really, for those of you who did, with all the train wrecks, the Fizdales, the Hornacek, never having a point guard, oh, I mean, it was just absolutely brutal. Well, you know what? Flex a little bit. I mean, don't walk around like a cocky, I mean, let's keep it in check here. It's a cup, so it's kind of a symbolic championship, but I enjoyed it. I really did. Andrew's in Queens, and I did not think that I would. Andrew, what's happening?
What's up, BT? Yep. How's it going, man?
Good.
So here's the deal. I'll say this cause I don't know, just like any NDA stuff, but it's been a few years. I was a part of the focus group when the NBA pitched a group of us, wow, the NBA Cup.
Okay.
This was about 5-6 years ago in the city. I think it was like right before COVID, but I just remember being in that room and there were about 20 of us. Just all races, all ages, uh-huh, everything like that.
Yep.
Casual super fans. I just remember being in that room. It was me and one other Knicks fan. And they asked us, they said, if your team were to win this made-up tournament, how excited would you be? And both of us said, we don't care. And the main reason being is that it's like you play the season to win the title, to win the commissioner's trophy, to win the championship. And the one thing that I kept saying to them was, what does this benefit my team in the long run? Like, what does this mean and everything like that? And so as I sit here today and me and that other guy, I'm curious what he thought about it.
Yep.
The other 18 were very much on board with it. They were like, oh, well, this sounds like the NCAA tournament and we love a bracket and March Madness and the excitement. But I sit here today and I'm sorry. I can't get excited about it. Now, okay, maybe sometime 20, 25 years down the line in the future, it'll mean something, but I don't care that bench players are getting paid more money. How does that affect me as a fan?
Mm-hmm.
And so like that's my one takeaway from this. And like, yes, you're totally right. You mentioned that the NHL has their tournament, soccer, they have their different in-season tournaments, baseball world. But the biggest difference in my mind with all of those things that you mentioned and what the NBA Cup is that these are all still the same teams. All those other tournaments you mentioned, usually, with the exception of a couple soccer ones,
yep,
usually it's all super teams or it's all nations or it's all, you know.
Yeah, it's a different level of rooting interest. It's more, in a lot of ways, it's deeper when it comes to the country. You know, I get you. That's fair.
Exactly. I'm sorry, it's not there for me. And like, there was nobody celebrating at the Garden, you know, on the steps of MSG last night. Like that's pretty much all you need to know. The Knicks finally won something. And yet there was no celebration.
Well,
but like,
they should have done a watch party. they do the real big games.
They absolutely could have. Exactly. And I think that just, again, further shows how, like, this tournament, like, it doesn't really mean much. I will say the one benefit, and I think you mentioned or Cole mentioned it earlier, where it's like, if these players, this now gives them a taste of how to perform under pressure. Now,
yep,
granted, like what really was this pressure?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a game on Amazon Prime. It's a game on a Tuesday night where I guarantee you a lot of casual fans didn't even know the Knicks were playing in a cup game.
Yeah, but you know
like
who knew? But Andrew, hold on. You know who knew? I'll tell you who knew. The entire NBA, their peers. So everybody was watching that was connected to the league. And you had a lot of luminaries in Vegas to watch it. So, again, it's not game 7. with the clock ticking down and 9 seconds to go and you're down a bucket. And if you score, you're a champion. If you miss it, you're not. No, nobody's saying that. So Andrew called up and said and asked, like, why should you get excited? Well, you don't have to. I mean, really, what he just said, that's a very non-emotional, very pragmatic way of looking at it. I respect that. And I wouldn't use the word excited. I enjoyed it. I didn't just, pop out of bed and skip to my car. Woo, champions, I'm like, all right, cool. Knicks, it was last night's Knick game was better than any other Knick game this year. Put it that way. And probably the semifinal was better than any other Knick game thus far this year. And they played about 25 games. So a little spike in enthusiasm, a little spike in interest, a little spike in importance. But why should you get excited? Again, you don't have to. But I'll tell you why you could get excited if you choose to, or if you chose to and continue to choose to. Well, because generally when you win the cup, it usually means you're pretty good as a team. So, like, I could see if it was this, like, if the Nets won, and no disrespect, no shade. But, if the Nets won, all right, well, actually, it might mean, maybe that's the wrong example because they're so young and so in their infancy. Maybe their fans actually would love that. Let me think of more of a middling team that is, veteran laden that just isn't going anywhere. Just let me move the standings real quick because I want to see this because I think that if it was a team like that, like, why would you get excited? Well, I don't think that you should necessarily because it's not going to be a foreshadow of what could possibly happen in June. Like, at least we could sit here today and say, all right, this is transferable. Now Wemby wasn't fully healthy. It wasn't the Thunder, even though we did play. It wasn't the Thunder, which is the team that I think the Knicks simply cannot beat in a 7-game series unless they make a trade. And even if they do make a trade, I don't know if they could beat them. That team is just simply better, in my opinion, by a pretty detectable margin. But get excited because the Knicks are one of the best teams in the NBA. And we knew that coming into the season. We didn't know to what extent. We still don't necessarily know, but it's a pretty interesting checkpoint. It's got a little bit of value to it, huh? So I wanted to check this, and I'm going to do this with you here. Like, I think it would bother me. I love my numbers, whether it's Savant, and we'll do some baseball coming up next with Bellinger, Yankees, and Mets with Bellinger. So that could be a little feisty here, which I'm all for. The numbers and the websites and the stats, I love it. So I went to baseball reference for something else, and then I was on basketball reference. I'm like, let me just check this. So I went to Giannis. So the Bucks won the second NBA Cup. And if you're a fan or, you track this stuff and you go to these websites, specifically baseball and basketball reference, at the upper right-hand corner has all of the accomplishments. 9-time All-Star. And I'm literally looking at Giannis's. 9-time All-Star, All-NBA, 9 times, 5 times All-Defensive, blah, blah, blah. 2-time MVP, 75th Anniversary Squad, 2021 NBA Champ, All-Rookie, Most Improved, Defensive POY, Finals MVP, and then the... Now, what is this here? Now I'm confused. What is 2020? This might be it. It is. All right, the acronym kind of, I'm new to this. It says 2024-2025 IST MVP, in-season tournament. And I was curious if they were going to put that up on the reference page. Like, I hope we're not at a point, not that anybody debates basketball Hall of Fame candidacies like we do baseball. It's a totally different energy, especially with basketball being international, college, all-encompassing. But, like, I hope that that's not down the road a bullet point for, proving that somebody, this guy. Imagine if LeBron was 10 years younger and he winds up winning 5 in-season tournaments, 5-time MVP. Oh, better than Jordan. He's got the most points. He's got this. He's got that. He's all this. He's that. Oh, yeah, by the way, 5-time in-season tournament, like MVP, champion. Like, that would be, I would just walk out of that conversation. I wouldn't even waste my time with that. Nick is in Elmhurst. Hopefully we don't get there. Nick is on the fan with BT. What's up, Nick?
How you doing, BT? I'm a huge fan. You guys are literally part of my morning routine, you and Sal. And I just wish you guys the best. Or whatever you're going for, and Sal as well, and a happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you, Nick. Very kind, and back to you and your family as well. Thanks, buddy. What's happening?
So, obviously, I was watching the game while putting my 2-year-old son to sleep last night. I'm on my phone on Amazon Prime, just praying that he goes to sleep so I can watch this game.
Yeah, yeah.
So
those days.
So I'm watching this game, and I'm like, is this what it's like to really have a bench? Like,
yeah.
I've been watching the Knicks for, I'm only 20 years old, you know what I mean? I'm a young pup,
uh-huh.
But I've been following the Knicks forever, you know what I mean? That's my team. So it's like, I haven't seen a group of guys that when the starters come off the floor that we can actually have a functional basketball team. But when the bench comes off, like, we don't need Brunson to score 40. Like, he could have some of the pressure off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like since the Cat and the Giannis trade rumors, all that stuff, I feel like that's put like a chip on his shoulder saying like, oh, they want to trade me? Okay, let's see them trade me now type of thing. You know what I mean? I feel like it just elevated his game a little bit. I'm not saying Giannis, like, he's on the same level, but it's like, I feel like it's putting like a motor back in his system. It's like, you see him making passes like he was in Minnesota. I mean, you see him spreading the floor a little more. And I'm just like, okay, maybe we have something here. You know what I mean? Like, obviously the main goal is to win an NBA championship. And the cup is nice. I mean, it was great to see. It's good for the city.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But it's really nothing too big, but it's something. You know what I mean?
It's a good moment, Nick. So, it's better than what happened Monday night, which was pretty much nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
At least it gives the people in New York something to cheer about, because I'm a Giants fan. You know how that ship is going.
Yes,
my uncle's a Jets fan. I hear their side.
Sunk.
You know what I mean? So it's like, at least now I have something looking forward to. My son is all in Knicks gear today because he just pointed at it. He's like, I want to wear it.
He didn't say it yet, too, but he pointed to that. Nick, that's all. I got to bounce here, but I'm glad you had that moment with your boy. God bless and enjoy the early stages of fatherhood, all right?
Thank you, bro.
You got it, man. There's nothing like it. I remember two things jumped to mind as he was saying that he was watching the game with his 2-year-old son last night. So I couldn't wait to have this moment, right? So, God, he's probably, I don't know, maybe 5 months old. And, you know, Jerry's been through this, you know, craziness and breastfeeding at that point. So mommy couldn't be away for too long, even though you got the milk in the freezer. What a mess in production. Oh, God. Anyway. So my wife went to get her nails done, and I'm like, finally, time, just me and my boy. I could not wait. I called my buddies. I put them in Marist, where I went, as many of you know, sent me like a little tiny onesie Marist jersey. I put them in it, a little tiny beanie. Looked like a gangster. It was awesome. And he did not stop screaming. And I forget what you call it. That little thing in the back of your throat. What's that? The record doesn't know either. That little thing that hangs down like a little boxing speed bag. When you yell, it kind of rattles back and forth. It looked like a cartoon. All he did, Jerry, for 3 hours in a row was scream. And that little thing was rattling. I was losing my mind. Right? But so I know what he's going through, because he called up and he said he was hoping his son would fall asleep. Now, that was like 5 or 6 months old. That's a different territory. That is, you hold on for dear life. The other one that I really remember, this sucked. He was the same age as my last caller. He's sitting on my lap, my son, when KP goes up and yokes it over. Not he did. Dunks it over Giannis, rips up his knee.
Mm.
And I knew, even before he hit the ground, I'm like, he's done. His knee is shredded. So hold on to it. It goes fast. You know, my son's now 10. My daughter's 9. And as Jerry knows, they're not on your lap forever. You
21
know what I mean?
And 15.
God almighty. See, I remember when I first met you. So you do the math for me real fast, because I started down the hall. And I met you a few times
mm-hmm.
before.
Of course.
You know, but like really get to see you day to day, where me and Teek are down the hall doing national. You obviously in the morning show with Carton at that point, a Boomer, and now Boomer and Geo. And that was 2013. So your son was 13 to 21. Did I do that right?
My oldest, he was born in 2004.
Okay, so he's nine there.
Yep.
And I remember you and I, you were just really in the throes of travel baseball,
for sure.
USABL.
Yep.
You were cutting the grass yourself. You were coaching.
Yeah.
And I remember, too, I mean, maybe we should have, hey, maybe I really should have done it. I could use it. I remember you were floating the idea of opening a baseball facility, a batting cage.
Yeah, it was just too expensive.
And I remember coming to you and saying, hey, I'll jump in for 50 G's.
Yeah,
with you. I remember, I'm like, I want in.
We would have been ahead of our time. Because it really exploded the last 5 years, maybe even 7-8 years. But going back to 2013, there weren't many of them around.
No, now they're everywhere.
And you wonder, could you really make it work?
Right now, probably not. You know, you'd have to attract.
There's a lot of kids out there.
There are. And what you'd have to do, Jared, you know this, you'd have to attach, like, you know, multiple club teams. Yeah. If it's just a facility hoping people waltz in to train,
100%.
You're going to be done in 3 months.
You know what it is, too? You got to commit to weekends.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? I just got done doing it.
Yeah.
You really want to jump back in again?
Yeah, yeah.
You're in the middle of it.
Well,
now.
You know I love it, man.
I know.
I hold that fungo forever. I joke around, like, when I'm done coaching, like, I'm kind of joking when I say this, but I'm really not. We might be living in someplace warmer. I'm talking down the road.
Sure.
I'm going to be walking around. When I'm done coaching, I'm going to be walking around aimlessly, like park to park, just looking for somebody to coach.
Brandon, if it wasn't golf, I don't know what I would do with my time. Like right now, I'm miserable.
Yeah.
What do you do all day?
I don't.
Nothing.
Why do you think I'm here today?
Yeah, I hear
you. If we got cut and it was June, I'd be playing golf.
For sure.
I'm going to sit in my house and stare at my tree.
It's tough. It's tough.
Oh, man. Recco's one of my
favorites.
Go
coach basketball.
I am. I got my girl. Oh. Well, I had to miss last night from my daughter's team. Now I'm starting to coach her more than my son. But I had St. John's, so I missed the practice
last night.
But she has their first game tomorrow night. And I'll tell you, they are totally, totally different. You know, one of them treats it like it's game seven of everything. My son and my daughter still doing cartwheels, yeah. You know, when she scores a bucket.
They were playing basketball.
Yeah.
Have fun with it.
I trust me, I do. Learned my lesson when I got booted from that game. Anyway, let's get the update. Reckles got to come back. Little Yanks and Mets both going after Bellinger. And apparently the Mets even more so than we thought. And I got a message, and it's not for Booney. It's not for Cash. It is for Hal. Next, after Recco.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.